You're listening to Always On Coverage, powered by podtech.net and PodTech News, your information source for the latest in technology and innovation.
Welcome to the PodTech Podcast. We're here in Portola Valley at Tony Perkins' Always On Headquarters, Going On Headquarters, and Always On Hollywood. Tony, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Tony, we've known each other for a long time, and we've worked together with Always On, but you've been quiet lately. You've passed a couple of years. You've been launched Always On, great site, game-changing site, open media revolution. You've been the pioneer of open media, being a media entrepreneur. You've been kind of under the radar for the past few months with this Going On network. Tell us what's happening.
Well, the cool part of Always On is, I think, that 90% of our content comes from our members, because it's a participatory environment. And of course, I've learned that whole game from the early blogging community. And, you know, I think it's a great way to create some critical mass underneath the media brand. So we've done that. After our first year, we expanded our membership on Always On to more of a social networking environment. But two things really popped in my head about a year and a half ago. One is, here I was, a media guy building my own platform, which didn't make sense, because I need to be just producing and cranking out content, not worrying about managing and hurting a bunch of engineers to bake in the next new feature onto my network. And I think the second thing is that it was clear to me that Always On, while interesting, was its own closed garden, right? Walled garden, as they used to say. And so I just got really inspired to just spin out the Always On platform, do it right, get it funded, start a new company, but create an open platform so that Always On could move into more of an open environment and join a network of networks effect. So all my creative energy has been spent working with a new team. My co-founder is Bernard Moon, who, interestingly, I met on the Always On network. And we've raised $450,000 of seed capital. We have a team of engineers in India, former Microsofties, and we're about 3 days, believe it or not, away from our beta of a new web publishing and community management platform that we're going to share with the world and really offer media brands, corporate brands, human interest groups, nonprofits, the ability to, within basically 5 minutes, set up their own Always On network.
So talk about when you started Always On. What year was that?
August of 2002. Of course, you know, I like to give credit to the early bloggers, but what really, you know, it was at the tail end of my involvement at Red Herring. I had cast out a little bit, fortunately, before the bubble burst, but was going, you know, watching a company now run by the investors go through several rounds of layoffs. And I was thinking about my own life, and I thought, you know, I have one more media brand inside me. And the whole blogging phenomenon, I thought was really interesting, because it was participatory, and they were using really easy-to-use publishing software that was basically free. So it didn't take, you know, the media entrepreneur in me long to figure out, like, hey, you know, the world is moving online, and, you know, this interactivity is really the new way that people are going to do business. Because I think in the first phase of the internet, it was about using the web still to push out content to people. But now, I think it's more about creating communities and conversations around initiatives and ideas, and everybody can become a media brand now, which I think is really cool. So just when we were worried in the early 2000s that Rupert Murdoch was going to end up owning the entire media business, what I see is the media world is bursting into millions of little media brands. So HP is going to become its own media brand. Audi is going to become its own media brand. Individuals will be able to become their own media brands, and that's what open media is all about.
This is amazing. I mean, you were really the pioneer, and, you know, PodTech was inspired a lot by the work that you did, and you know, we started blogging around the same time in 2001, 2002. But early on, that was kind of a radical idea. No one called it blogging. Hey, it's not really blogging. It doesn't count. Or you know, but you set something up. You innovate on it. But actually now it's validated. If you look at everything that's going on today, social media, people are calling it, open media, you've called it, that's really been validated. Corporations are moving there. Talk about some of the trends that you see from large corporations.
Well, again, I think that what's really, you know, blogging started out as like a religious movement. It was about the rise of the individual voice. And I think that's just fantastic. But, you know, I'm a guy that likes to make money. So for me, I looked at slash.org, and it is one of the most powerful media brands on the planet. It's just that no one has figured that out yet. It's operated out of a garage in Michigan, and they, in my mind, have infinitely more influence on the subject matters, you know, the real geeky stuff, than probably any other brand on the planet in terms of driving eyeballs. If you get slash.org, you end up getting tens of thousands of links back to your site. So, you know, I think that it's a new open world, and I think that media, you know, people who get covered by the media now can go over the head of traditional media and go direct to markets and talk to those markets. So Jonathan Schwartz, this, you know, president and CEO of Sun, has gone direct. Other executives have gone direct in kind of the classic individual blog type.
When you say go direct, what do you mean by that? I mean, I know what you mean, but let's just expand on that. Do you mean like in a direct business model, direct
way?
Jonathan,
you know, set up his own blog, and all the constituencies that watch Sun, from their investors to David Kirkpatrick at Fortune, to all the constituencies, to his employees, they all go and read his blog every single day. So he has now a direct, unfiltered way to communicate in a very cheap way to his core constituencies. So I think what's happening in business
versus go through some institutional player or some bottleneck or
And the user, the average internet user out there, likes to go right to the source. You know, that's the culture of the internet, is to get as close to the source as possible. And so, you know, they don't need some, you know, Columbia School of Journalism trained reporter who knows very little about, you know, Spark chips and Open Solaris, you know, to filter their messages to core constituencies.
Yeah, so what you're saying is those people who don't know much, but they're trained on, quote, journalism traditionally, don't really know what questions to ask. And they're the filter for the average person. Mm-hmm. But in this case, with the internet, the people who are very interested in the deep subject matter experts want to hear from the guy who knows the most.
Right.
And that's really what you're talking about, right?
Right. And then
that's the direct model. I don't want to hear from a filter go-between who doesn't know that much. It's just pawning questions off.
Right. And I think there are two, you know, newer trends in the corporate world. One is that people are saying, okay, the individual-driven blog is interesting, but why not create a group blog, or what we call a brand blog, where you can get several of your executives on one blog network page and create conversations. So I think blogging is going to go to, from an individual, you know, there'll be a lot of individuals that remain bloggers, but I think you're going to see a whole new generation of what I call brand blog networks, you know, where, you know, corporate brands are going to put together, you know, all different kinds of content and go direct with that content. The second thing, which is obviously Podtech's involvement, is the whole multimedia blogging side of it. So, you know, what we're finding is, you know, people are watching more video, listening to more audio over the internet. I mean, it's just statistically going through the roof, and and so I think that these brand networks and new media companies are going to have to think creatively about their mix, because more and more people are going to be interested in consuming multimedia content as opposed to the traditional text-driven blog content that we've seen in the past.
So the user experience is changing, and clearly you just wrote in your latest issue of your Always On magazine, the IM generation, this new shift. You've been seeing it for a while. You're known as obviously having great vision and also being a great moneymaker in media, but that, more importantly, is talk about the shift. You've been watching it from the distance, and then when Red Herring kind of transitioned, that when you transitioned out of there, you did Always On. Talk about where this is going, this shift, this new consumption, this new users.
Well, it's interesting, you know, in my younger days, I could have throw a baseball from where I'm sitting right now and hit the coffee shop where the PC revolution was born. You know, Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak used to show up at the shopping center next door and bring their hand.
That's a pretty good throw, actually.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Maybe if I get to the end of the parking lot here. Like I said, when I was younger, I actually pitched down the street in Little League in that beautiful field down there. But Woz and Jobs used to show up with their handmade PCs in the early 70s in the Home Brew Computer Club. And if you really think about it, the Mac was launched in 85. Microsoft went public in 86. So we're really, you know, 20 years into the PC generation having driven the IT economy. Okay, so that's, but I, for the first time in my life, I'm seeing a major generational shift to a new generation. And what I like, I refer to them as the instant messaging generation, because they were 14 years old on average, 7 years ago when they started doing instant messaging, and now have grown and are now graduating from college. And they have distinctly different behavior patterns. One, they're a generation that likes to post and share content on the internet. Okay, so, you know, the first phase of the internet was, again, about just broadcasting content. Now it's about posting and sharing. And in fact, of that generation, 62% of the content that they consume is actually produced by people they know. Okay.
This is the IM generation. I mean, we're talking about, you know, baby boomers, Xers, Yers. I mean, this is now a new thing.
Yeah, this is
completely new.
These are the kids that were born after 1980. And so they, you know, they grew up, they are the first generation to grow up where the internet was a persistent presence in their life, and that they had this sense of online presence where they could fire up their, you know, their IM client and see all their buddies online and just start posting and sharing conversations in real time on the internet, which is a much different, you know, it's a generational shift. The second thing they like to do is they like to create networks of their friends. And so, different than our generation, they are managing, like my daughter, who's at Cornell in computer science, has 120 friends in her network that she actively manages on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, her best friend goes to UCLA, creates her network, she meets people in that
network.
And
this is not a hard thing for them. I mean, we're talking like,
this is,
you know, for I'm 40, and, you know, SMS is a pain in the ass for me, because it's like, you know, it just, but they laugh at us.
Right.
You know, to
right.
them, they can flip a, hi, I'm doing great, like, in seconds.
Right.
So IMing, multitasking. This is changing how they consume and what they perceive as news and value. Right. Talk about that from your experience being in the publishing
well,
business.
Well, what's interesting is again, they are culturally are more interested in going to non-big media, non-big entertainment-produced content. I mean, if you look at their mind real estate, you know, the amount of time that they spend consuming content, the amount of the pie that they mind share they dedicate to big entertainment and big media is going down, and the amount of time they spend reading content that's produced by people they know is going up. Okay, and so that mentality is now coming into the workforce. So that's going to reinforce the Jonathan Schwartz's strategies of the world, because this generation is not going to want to go to the New York Times business section to learn about Sun. They're going to want to hear a podcast, you know, of all the top executives at Sun,
and make their
minds up, you
exactly.
know, and that's going to be their first inclination. Their first inclination is to go and find the content that's actually produced by the source that they are concerned about. So I think that's going to pose significant challenges for big media and big entertainment. The other interesting thing is, from a marketing standpoint, if a lot of the time spent consuming content is consuming, say, a video audio mix that their best friend created out on the internet amongst 120 of their friends, okay, how does a marketeer enter that world? and get their messages?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, you know, you've seen a lot of different trends over the years and many business cycles on the media side of things. Mm-hmm. What you're saying is, I mean, not I'm agreeing with you because it affects my business. The traditional stuff is over. And
right.
In a way, for this IM generation, the traditional mechanisms for distribution of content, the brands themselves
right.
and the content is changing.
Right.
So how would you see that really shifting? Mm-hmm. What's the impact of that? Are people going to die? What is old media going to do? Clearly they're not fast enough to move. Mm-hmm. The music industry haven't done anything. What is going to happen? What is the outlook for this? What's the consequences of this IM generation?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, well-produced, you know, well-edited, you know, content is always going to have some kind of value. But again, I think that the average consumer is going to have a lot more choice, and they're going to be able to, you know, go direct to the brands and the individuals that they care about to find out what's going on. And that inevitably means that, you know, the mind share of traditional media and entertainment is shrinking, and so it's going to become a lot more competitive environment for them to recapture that mind share. So it's just, you know, every person, every brand that has a website today to communicate to some kind of constituency is going to eventually roll those static brochureware-based websites into participatory environments where they're going to podcast, they're going to videocast, they're going to blog, and they're going to interact, and they're going to build community around their initiatives and ideas. And again, you know, the traditional media is going to become less and less, you know, of a player in that relationship between these brands and their most important constituencies.
Yeah, these relationships are clearly changing. We'll see how they react. But, I mean, you've been a pioneer. You've really called it here with the IM generation. You called it with open media. Mm-hmm. You're launching the Going On Network at a conference in Hollywood. So here you are, Silicon Valley media maverick, going to into Hollywood. Where there's dust kind of gathering on the old media out there, and some people over there say that the big studios get it. On Hollywood is a conference going on next month in May. You're launching the Going On Network. Mm-hmm. Talk about the conference and why you're going there.
Well, you know, this is where I actually get my jollies, is, you know, being a disruptive child. And I feel, you know, other people, I'm not a very materialistic person. I like to. I guess I've just extended my adolescence beyond the normal boundaries. But what I see happening down in Hollywood is a major disruption, again, driven by these new behavior patterns of the instant messaging generation. So what does that mean is it's goodbye, you know, standalone PC, one-way web, and hello, you know, social networking and, you know, mobile entertainment media on the run. So I think what we're doing is we're parachuting 50 CEOs of venture-backed private companies that are creating the technologies that are driving mobile content, driving the new web services, ad services, games.
You call it new space, new players. And that's
exactly.
Kind of your tagline.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I think these are the people that are building the tools that are fueling the consumer-generated media revolution. And again, you know, empowering people to create their own content and share that content, you know, within, you know, niche communities, which again is a very disruptive force, whether big entertainment world sees it or not. You know, their mind share is under assault.
We've been doing a lot of work at PodTech with Intel.
Right.
Intel has been aggressive at, you know, events like Sundance, CES. They have the Cannes Film Festival this month. Digital entertainment is being obviously driven and enabled by technology.
Right.
Is Silicon Valley, company like Always On, Tony Perkins, obviously a technologist, media entrepreneur, going to Hollywood? Are you there to show them or reach out to them, participate with them? Because clearly they're looking for some answers. Is that the purpose of the show?
Yeah, and again, I'm never blinded or fanatical about any trend. I always believe that in the end, they'll end up being a mix of old traditional content that's well-produced, well-funded, well-edited, and a combination of new consumer-generated media. And I think what we're trying to achieve is we're putting together some of the top CEOs of the, you know, the arms dealers into this change, and we're having people from, you know, Fox and
Podtech will be there.
Lionsgate and Sony Films, and
these are big players. So yeah, this is not just a new startup technology. This is established players, upstarts,
right,
venture backed. So the new and the old.
We're mixing them together, and we're saying, okay, you young guys, you new startups, you know, you can leverage up by cutting a deal with Fox. Okay, and hey, Fox, you better pay attention to these new guys because, you know, you thought MySpace was cool. Well, you know, here's a bunch of new generation companies that are potentially as powerful and interesting.
Here's the next rev. Here's possibly the next generation.
Right. Now, I think there's a lot, you know, like all of these things. I went to this party last night that I felt like I was at an underground, you know, European nightclub. So there is some kind of this feeling that the bubble is kind of back, and, you know, you're seeing some conspicuous spending.
Was it a launch party?
It was a company called Blue Lithium.
Yeah, Ad Network, I believe, right?
Ad Network. And, you know, it was a little nerve-wracking, belly dancers. And, you know, you wonder, you know, you get concerned when you see companies that are probably not making money yet, you know, spending lavishly on parties.
Of
course, I didn't complain as I, you know, had my...
The red herring days. You were a benefit of that bubble.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway... I do believe that there's a lot of experimentation, a lot of companies being funded that don't necessarily have, clear business models. But, you know, that's the way it goes, because out of this generation, I actually have always predicted, even when I wrote the Internet Bubble book in 99, I said that the greatest names that will eventually be associated with the Internet will be born after the bubble burst. So, you know, we had some good names like Yahoo, and Google and others, that were, and eBay, that were formed in the first generation. But for every one of those, there'll be 10 more brands that rise in this new generation. So we've already seen it with Skype and MySpace and a lot of other companies that are starting to
finally emerge. Let's talk about your plans for Always On and just kind of, you know, this next year. So talk about what you're expecting at Always On Hollywood,
mm-hmm,
coming up,
mm-hmm,
in May, and then the outlook for the rest of the year. You have Innovation Summit coming up in July. Take us through what's going to happen the rest of the year.
Well, Always On is going to stay, you know, true to its mission of being a media brand that services the global Silicon Valley. Our focus is always going to be where innovation is disrupting current markets and creating new commercial opportunities. And we always want to be perceived as the champion of the great entrepreneurial companies. You know, we're going to roll out a new event in New York called On Media, really based upon the success of On Hollywood, or the reception we've received for On Hollywood, going to New York in a big way and really focus more on marketing, PR, branding, and media specifically, and how those worlds are being shaken and turned upside down. Of course, we have our annual Innovation Summit, which is our global thought leadership conference at Stanford in July, and we'll continue to do that. That's very successful. We've got webcast to 135 countries and over 50,000 viewers last year.
That's free content. You're not charging. It's great
stuff. Yeah, we charge you to come. You have to pay a couple grand to show up and network. But we, you know, in the true open media fashion.
And the physical presence is pay.
Right.
You got to pay a hefty subscription.
Right.
But there's some great value in that. But you do offer it for free. And a lot of people don't know that you webcast it. We offer a podcast as well. So
right. So we'll do that with all efforts. Yeah, and we also run Radically a big chat screen coming in from comments all over the world on the screen at all our events during the whole conference. So that's exciting. We like doing the print magazine, although right now print is pretty flat in the advertising space, but we have good sponsors. So we're going to continue to have a physical presence of some of our content in a quarterly magazine and, you know, just build the franchise from here. I think after New York, we'll probably be looking at China or you know, continuing across the pond to exploit, you know, new growing areas. But again, half my time is going to be dedicated to going on, and really, which is really the financially home run type of opportunity, because you know we're basically going to provide a very powerful modern web publishing and community management system for anybody on the planet that wants
to
create
their
own.
You've taken what you've learned in Always On, right, and opening up to everyone.
Right, and I think it's good. I'm. You know, it's very exciting because I think that in a world, in the open media world, good ideas have a greater chance of rising to the top. And so that's the idealism behind, you know, what I'm doing. Plus, I just think that there's a lot of good niche, you know, media brand opportunities out there for people, and giving them the platform to cheaply, you know, set up and earn, you know, place in the media world is a good thing.
I'm here with Tony Perkins in his office in Portola Valley, right down the street from the PodTech office. We've been working together with putting podcasts up on Always On weekly. We'll be working together on the Going On. So a little disclosure there. You're a great guy, pioneer. In my mind, really coined the open media revolution model. Put a lot behind it early on, and great stuff. And congratulations. And just final question, mm-hmm. What's going to be different 5 years from now?
Well, I think the average person is going to feel a lot more empowered because they'll be able to show up into common interest communities on the web and participate, get to know people, and you know, really have their say or gain access to the more specific kind of content that they're interested in or they need in order to do their job. So I see that's a greater world. I think also, you know, you're going to see a tremendous virtualization of the workforce. And again, it'll get back to individual empowerment because people will be able to create their own arrangements with their employers, be able to work, you know, wherever they can, customize their lives around their children, and the whole concept of 9-to-5, having to be at the office to prove to your boss that you're working, you know, really goes away. So I am feeling extremely excited and positive about this next wave of the internet. And, you know, quite naturally, if it's going to deliver that new kinds of opportunities and values for the individual, that will by definition translate into the creation of a lot of wealth, new jobs, and a higher standard of living. So as far as I'm concerned, it's all good.
Tony Perkins, Always On, Going On Network in Silicon Valley, pioneer, media entrepreneur. Thanks so much for the podcast.
You bet.
For the information that matters, go to podtech.net and subscribe to PodTech News.